God has given thee. Part 1 is the title of today's message, taken from Acts 27, 1 to 26. Life can be fraught with danger, and the storms of life can come anytime and threaten our peace. Just this week, we were out having a walk in the morning, and it was about a 30-minute walk. And right at the close of our walk, we see the weather suddenly change, and we said, we better run, because, I was told that, you know, if the weather changed, and suddenly there is a twirl of a wind, and suddenly it becomes very cool, the rain is going to come soon. And true enough, within several minutes, the rain came. But we were already making our way for shelter, and we managed to find the shelter before the rain came. And as we think about life, we think about the storms of life, we ask ourselves often, how can we weather the storms that come in life? Today, we may have been able to get away in time, but another day, we may be caught right in the storm. I recall going fishing out in the sea, and we saw the dark clouds and the rain coming, but the dark clouds and the wind and the rain would come very swiftly, and at that moment we had not enough time to flee, to run. The only thing we could do is to make sure that the anchor was placed securely for the boat to sustain itself. And then we had to place all the so-called protective curtains on both sides, and we hid ourselves inside while the storm beats all around us for not short time. Can be quite frightening, right? The boat goes moving and rocking and rocking, and you are out there in the middle of the sea in the storm. How can we weather the storms that come in life? I want to submit to you that it is by walking close to God, by trusting in His care during those time of storm. The psalmist says in Psalm 23, verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." The psalmist had the assurance that his shepherd, his Lord, his God, is with him wherever he goes. Although he was going through the dark valleys of life. You know, the valley is the low-lying plains where you are most vulnerable as you travel there. Here the psalmist tells us that he will not fear no evil. Do you have that kind of an assurance as you go through life? In Psalm 34, the psalmist says in verse 15, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry." Who are the righteous? All who name by faith the name of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You have the Lord with you, you have confessed your sins, you have repented of your sins, and now you are a child of God because you have received Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life. You have this lifeline, this access to God in heaven to help you for whatever circumstances that you are facing. The psalmist says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles." Psalm 34, verse 17. And verse 19 and 20, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." Do you have that kind of assurance in your heart as you go through life? Whatever the external circumstances may be, you know that the Lord is with you, and you know that he will see you through whatever the situation. You remember the disciples were with Jesus when they were in the Sea of the Sea of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee, and they were out there in the lake. They said, "Let's go forth to the other side." And they launched forth and they sailed, and there Jesus fell asleep. And there came a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water, and they were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awake him and said, "Master, Master, we perish." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, "Where is your faith?" And there, being afraid, and they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the waters, and they obey him." They arrive safely on the other side. This is the God that we follow. This is the God whom we love. This is the God whom we serve. And he sends us on a mission each day, each week, for this new week. You are out there for the Lord. You are on a mission for your God. And as he sends you forth, will you trust him to see you through the day's event, or the day-to-day events of life? Luke, our writer, is relating to us with significant detail Paul's voyage to Rome. You recall, the Lord Jesus said to him, "You have testified of me in Jerusalem. Now I'm going to send you to Rome." And he said, how is he going to go to Rome? You noticed that he was under custody. He has preached the gospel, and the enemy wanted to take hold of him. Had a vow, a fast to kill him, and he had to hide himself. And we can see throughout this time, God protected him each step of the way. Last week we were recounting, right, step by step, the Lord was with him. Right, today we are going to see him in the middle of a storm. Right, he was out in the sea, going to Rome. Finally, fulfilling the Lord's will. But on that ship, they are going to face a great hurricane, a great storm that is threatened to shipwreck all who were in it. It was great danger. And I remember the story of John Newton. John Newton was a man who was brought up by a godly mother. Mother was very concerned for the soul of his son. And from a young age, he taught him the scriptures. He taught him the things of God. But when he was 7 years old, he died. The mother died. And from then on, he didn't have a bearing, as it were, and he was on his own. And he became a sailor. And as a sailor, he was out in the sea one day. And there was a great storm that came. And it was at that time, during that storm, that he remembered his mother's God. And it was at that time that he cried out to his mother's God. The ship didn't sink. God was with him. You know, it is through those storms in life that we face desperate situations that our faith is tested. And it is also a good opportunity for us to prove our Lord that indeed He is able to help us through the storms of life. And here we follow the Apostle Paul as he goes on this journey. The two thoughts that we want to consider is the danger and the deliverance. The danger and the deliverance. What do you do when you face challenges, dangers, storms that come in life? Here you see the Apostle Paul trusting in the Lord. He knew that he's going to go through hardship, but he was prepared. He knew that the Lord is with him, and he knew that he had a mission to fulfill in his life. You know, when we spend time to walk close to God, God reveals to us what He wants us to do, so that we may know what is His purpose and what is His will. Before God shower fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord sent a message to Abraham, who was living in the plains, and the Sodom and Gomorrah, that city that was going out of the will of God, was just overlooking where he was staying. And the Lord said to him that he's going to destroy this city. And he pleaded with the Lord, asked God for mercy to keep. This was what the Apostle Paul was doing. You see, he was with the in the ship, and in those days, you don't have cruise ship or passenger ships. Most of the ship were cargo ships. So, if you want to travel from one place to another, you take a cargo ship, and the cargo ship would bring you from one place to another. You don't have those big, gigantic cruise ship that we see today, right, that brings you from one port to another port conveniently, in a sense we said safely, due to its size and structure, right, and all its amenities. Well, during that time for the Apostle Paul, he was on a cargo ship, and you see he was he was booked on that cargo ship. His passage was paid by the Caesar, Rome. Remember, he appealed to Caesar when he was being accused of the Jews for blasphemy against his people, and he said that I'm innocent. And what could he do to escape all of this incarceration and persecution? Well, the Lord provided an escape route for him. And that escape route was actually fulfilling God's purpose for him to go to Rome. You see, when you're with serving the Lord and you're walking with God, God provides your opens your pathway or provides the way for you through the temptation, through the trials of life, right? By His miraculous provision, by His power, he does all these things for us. This is what the Apostle Paul is experiencing, right, when he was making this journey. Verse 1 of our text says, and when he was determined that we should sail into Italy, right, Italy is where the city of Rome is, they traveled, they delivered Paul and the other prisoners. So Paul was not the only prisoner. There were other prisoners together with him, and there was a Roman officer. This Roman officer was in charge of all these prisoners, to bring them to Caesar's palace. And so they went, and there was a Christian man, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, Aristarchus, who was with Paul. He was not a prisoner, but later on, if you study the book of Colossians, when Paul wrote from the prison in Rome, he spoke that Aristarchus was his fellow prisoner there. This man, a convert, who was with him, traveled with him to be with him, though, to comfort him, to be his to help him during this time, and he was there together with the delegate. And verse 3 tells us, and the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius is a centurion, courteously entreated Paul, and that's the word there that means benevolence, kindness. And the actual word in the original is the word that means philanthropy, where we get the word philanthropy, to do a benevolent acts that would benefit others. So this Julius, right, in kindness to Paul, gave him the freedom to go to his friends, to refresh himself. Although he was a prisoner, he managed to make friends, in a sense, to win the trust of this man. And so he was on his way there. We want us to see how he was fulfilling the will of God for his life. The everyday journey, or that journey he knew, was God's purpose, and he had to travel long distance, about 400, 500 kilometers of sea travel, several weeks, and not an easy journey. Verse 4 of our text said they sailed under Cyprus, and the winds were contrary. So it was about the autumn time, and the winds were the sea was rough, the weather was not so good, and they were traveling during those times, and there was danger. And verse 7 of our text says, and we sailed slowly many days, and scares were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete. So they managed to travel for a while. It was all right. Crete is one of those islands off the Mediterranean Sea, off Israel, about 160 kilometers away. And it is one of those islands that later on you see there were Christian settlements. Paul sent Titus there to help in the work, and they sailed past that, and there when they came, verse 8 says, to this place called the Fair Havens, right, that they came to a small port. And you notice that travel in those days were slow. Right? The vessel ships were not steam engine, right? Sailboats. So if you were to make a study during those times, one day you're going to travel only a short distance. not fast. Right? If the wind is for you, it's well, but the wind can be against you. Right? Then, you know, you don't move so quickly. And so travel was uncertain, was fraught with danger. And verse 9 tells us that now there was much time spent when the sailing was now dangerous. So they were encountering difficulty in their travel. And if you make a study of those times, you'd find that it is usually during the November to the March period that the place is, the weather is extremely dangerous. And they were traveling around that time, right? The day of the fast, and that's the meaning, that's the word that means the day of atonement, the Yom Kippur. At the end of September, it was the year AD 59, and possibly about 5th of October, around our time now, weather is a little bit wet, a bit stormy. It was during that time that they were traveling, and that's when they faced danger. And Paul, you remember when he was sharing with the church in Corinth, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, right, he spoke about the dangers that he had to face in fulfilling God's will for his life. He said in verse 25 of 2 Corinthians 11, "Thrice I suffered shipwrecked. A day, a night and a day, I have been in the deep, in journeys, often in perils of water, in perils in the sea." He tells us that in his work, or in the work that God had sent him, there were many dangers that came in the way. But he testified that at the end of his life, that the Lord had been with him. And you would notice that throughout his life, he somehow knew what God is doing for him. You know, for someone who is walking close to God, if you have been spending time in your devotion, spending time in prayer, spending time drawing nigh to God, you know, in the sense that God would, you know, speak to you and show you what he is doing in your life. So for the Apostle Paul, even at the end of his life, right, he wrote in the 2 Timothy, right, that he knew that life was coming to an end. Right? He said that at the end of the book of 2 Timothy, that the Lord had revealed to him that life is coming to a close. And he was preparing himself to meet his Lord. And he said, "I've run the race. I have fought the fight." You see, here is a man of God who knew God in his life and who was very close to God. And he was very much aware of what God is doing for him in his life. And verse 14 of our text brings us right in the middle of the storm. Verse 14 says, "And not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euro-Sliden, a wind of hurricane force that came upon the ship, and they were in danger. Verse 15 tells us, "The ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind. We let her drive." Now, they could not even put an anchor to secure the boat. They had to let the wind and the current drive the ship. If you are If you are, you have gone to sea before on a vessel, you know how dangerous it is. That's where you just don't know where you are going. There could be rocks, there could be other ships, and the visibility is poor, and the danger is great. Right? Upon the traveler upon the boat, this was what was happening for them. And verse 15 says that the ship was caught. The ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind. And we let her drive. And it's interesting to see the kind of danger that this man was facing. And how he also had that composure to trust the Lord. What did he do during that time? Well, he committed to the Lord all that were on the ship. He knew that it was the will of God for him to travel to Rome. But he also knew that of all who were on the ship, because of the danger, there are those that will perish. And he sought the Lord to protect all that were on the ship. And the Lord hearkened to his prayer. The Lord was with him. Verse 22 of our text tells us, "And now I exhort you," he told the people, "be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." Now he's speaking to all the, you know, pagans, those who do not know God. He's telling them about his God and how his God has revealed to him that they would all be saved. He says that this night there stood by me the angel of God, whose I am. I belong to this God. You know that in the pagan world, they all believe many gods. But there is that one God whom he knew, he knew, whom he served, that is protecting him. And he said that there would be not be loss of any man's life among you. You see the power of prayer here? When you seek God and you seek to ask for God's mercy upon the people around you, God hears and hearkens to your prayer. When Abraham cried out to God to save the inhabitants, right, those who were there, especially his nephew Lot and the family, the Lord said to him that, yes, every righteous soul I would save. And Abraham negotiated, as it were, right? He spoke to the Lord. He said, if there are 50, spare the city. If there are 40, spare the city. If there are 30, spare the city. If there are even 10, spare the city. But there was not even 10 righteous there. But God was gracious to save Lot and his family, right, the two daughters. But it was sad that the wife of Lot, right, she was so much engulfed with life in Sodom, she could not bear to part with it. And the Bible tells us she was turned to a pillar of salt. She didn't escape the snare of the debauchery, the immorality of Sodom and Sodom and Gomorrah. Here, the Lord wants us to understand and know that we, as a child of God, we have, as a priest before God,
we are an intercessor. We can, each one of us, pray and bring our petitions to God. And the God of heaven would hear our prayer and hearken to our cry. And here you see how the lifeline was opened during that storm that he was saved. For it is during the storms of life that brings about oftentimes memorable markers, life-changing markers in people's life. As we were mentioning, the life of John Newton, the man who wrote the hymn Amazing Grace. It was there in the storm, just before, you know, the waters coming in, overflowing the ship, that he kneeled down and he cried out to God for mercy, the God of his mother. And what did God do? God saved him. What will you do? How would you react in the storms of life that would come your way? We don't know when danger would be for us. You don't know what would happen through life. But we know that as God's children, we continue to abide with him, continue to walk with him, continue to follow him, he will direct our steps. And that's why for the people of God, it's so important that we take time to know the will of God, take time to study the Word of God, take time to pray, take time to come before God. We come before God every Wednesday. And, you know, our prayer list for the last few years has not short. We have 2 pages of items, and you know, for those who are sick, those who are not well, those of our parents, siblings who are still outside God's kingdom, the list overflows. So many needs, so many in distress, right? And the Lord wants you to be an intercessor for the people around us. How can we love others? Well, one way in which we can do so is to pray for them, to bring them before the throne of grace, to bring them before God, to seek God's mercy, to seek God's help upon their life. Paul did that when he was on that ship. He prayed for all who were on that ship. Probably he would have made some friends. The journey being long, there are many who are there on that ship. And he would have shared the gospel, I believe, with many a one. Some may have even come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he definitely wanted to see to their well-being. And so he prayed, he sought the Lord, and the Lord answered him. The Lord said to him that they would be protected. That is the power of intercessory prayer. We have power with God as we would be willing to cry out to him, to pray and seek him, as we submit to his will, submit to his leading and guidance. We have a good God that will surely do good to his people. May the faith of God's people be strengthened, especially during the time of storm. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank thee for thy mercy. Thank thee for bringing us this passage of scripture of Paul's journey to Rome and how he encountered the storm and how thou art with him and answering his prayer, send an angel to assure him of his presence to protect them. And all the lives would be saved. The ship was wrecked. It was very dangerous. And yet, Lord, we see thy protective care upon thy people. Lord, we are on that journey to the celestial city, to this home, the city that thou hast made, whose maker and foundation is God. Lord, we are assured by faith that we would arrive safely there. O Lord, may thou be gracious to bless thy people with thy very presence, to know that we are a protected people. And Lord, help us to be strengthened in our faith, to trust thee during the storms that comes in life. This I pray with thanksgiving, in Jesus' name. Amen.